Okay, so today is the last of the series, What We Believe. And again, I was wanting you to understand us as a specific church, the things that we believe. And Dan's going to be putting all those on our website in sections so you can share with people. But also those brochures are back there. And on Wednesday nights, we'll continue to talk about that. Next week, I encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. That is the armor of God. That is what, if you haven't figured out what the theme of VBS is, I'm going to be, well, they'll be doing the VBS program, but I'll be kind of hitting on that during the Sunday service next week. The armor of God is really important. And I have been in situations, and how I'll talk about a little bit next week, how we need to get familiar with the armor of God. We need to get familiar with putting on the armor of God daily. And so I encourage you to read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 this week and kind of chew on that as you look at the posters and see the shirt that you have and all these different things. It kind of reinforces about the importance of the armor of God. And then after that, we'll be doing the Lord's Supper, and then I'll be the next one will be the weekend around 4th of July, and I'll be talking about foundational faith. And then we'll be going into a series a little bit later called This is the Way, and talking about the way we are to walk as Christians. And so in July, there'll be a box out there, and there'll be a slip to put your favorite verse and put it in there, put your name on it. And then in August, I'll be preaching August through September favorite verses. If I don't hit your favorite verse, doesn't mean I won't use it later. So anyway, so those are some things that are coming up. But today we're going to close up on these articles, and I split it up. The last one was on family, but I split up the one about family to talk about parenting today, because I thought that that went well with Father's Day. And we can start with the picture there. Yeah, there you go. Got that one in there. A couple of weeks ago, we had all of our family here, and I want to thank Lisa and Glenn. Lisa took pictures of our family, but this is one Glenn took, so good job, Glenn. Okay, yeah, he's the helper. But you go to Proverbs 17:6 says this, grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. And so a lot of times it doesn't take much to share a picture and to be proud. And we see in the Bible what it's talking about. Children are a gift from God. They're not an imposition. They're a blessing and a heritage. And while you're parenting, you may question that, you know. But children are a gift from God, not an imposition, a blessing and a heritage. But parenting is hard. It's difficult. And we, as parents and as grandparents, and a lot of you may say, well, I'm not a parent, I'm not a grandparent, I'm not married, then you know what? This still applies to you, because a verse that has guided me is Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I've given you, and I'm going to quote it like they've got on there. I think they have Deuteronomy 30:19. You got that? There you go. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. That verse hit me a long time ago. And you have to ask the question, Christian or individual. You don't even have to be a parent. You don't even have to be a spouse. Every day, you are either speaking life or you're speaking death. Now, if you're a Christian, I think you know what we need to be speaking. And we're going to unpackage that. But this is where we get into parenting. And this is where we get into being a believer. We can choose to be a blessing or a curse to the people around us, to our families, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our spouses, to whoever. We can choose to be a curse and speak death, or we can choose to be a blessing and speak life. And when it comes to parenting or life, we need to speak life with your life. That's your action step today. And speak life with your life. You say, well, that seems kind of redundant, but everybody here is speaking something with your life. It's either death or life. It's either a blessing or a curse. We want to be, you know, when people are around us, it's not the fact that they like us or like everything about us, but when they leave, regardless of how they feel about us, have we been a blessing to them? or have within a curse. And so we need to really think about that. Your action steps, we're going to spell out the word life today. And as parents, we need to speak life into others' lives, but as individuals, we need to do that too. And so your first fill-in, speaking life, starts with living new life in Christ. There's a lot of people that are talking about exciting stuff and all this and that, but it's all counterfeit and dead things if Christ is not in it. And C.S. Lewis talked about that, and Paul talks about we're looking through a glass dimly. And C.S. Lewis would talk about the fact that we live in the shadow lands. We're not living really life. We're going to live perfect life with Christ for those of us that choose us. But that's why if you're going to speak life, living the new life starts with Christ, accepting Him into and that new life. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so letting Christ speak Christ into your life, then you can begin to speak life into others' lives, especially your family. A lot of you are here because of a family member, whether a father or a mother. We talked about the influence of both and how God designed them, but the fact that they had that new life in Christ. They spoke it in your life. But there's so many people that are trying to give us the next best thing, or this is going to help us. And people are searching for answers, guys, and there's only one. Nothing has changed. We all have the same problems, and there's only one answer. And so, therefore, there's a lot of false life. Something will spark for a little bit and then just fizzle out. And so, starting with how we see our children, let's look at this article here. And this is, again, a statement. I'm going to package it and obviously put scripture behind it. But children from the moment of conception are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. Parents are to demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values and to lead them through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. Children are to honor and obey their parents. There's something there for everybody today. First of all, I'm going to hit on those notes. It's not political, but let's talk about how people's beliefs contradict each other. I'm not against saving puppies. I'm not against saving cats, even though I don't really want to like it. You will have people get upset about somebody that gets rid of. I'm saying gets rid of. It kills puppies or cats. But yet a child is just a group of cells when we choose for it to be a group of cells. But when we don't choose, then we can do 3D ultrasound and see everything about that baby and their movements, and then suddenly that's a baby. That is not political. It is saying from the beginning, a child is a value at the point of conception.
Amen.
We need to value life. And you know what? Everybody here needs to thank their parents for believing that. Because for quite a while, for most of you, some of us are a little gray hair, but for most of you, your parents had a choice or not. In that sense. And so, thank God for people that valued that they believe life was at the point of conception. That's when this honoring starts. Children are to be received as a blessing and a gift from God. Some days it's like, oh, they're a blessing. Oh, it's a gift, but this one's going south. Okay, I don't know. But we need to view that, because if we don't, those days kind of go hard. My dad used the example, all he remembered about us growing up was there were several small people around all the time. You know, that kind of thing. That's his only memory, okay? And children are not an imposition. Yeah. They change your life. But this is a choice that you made and God has blessed you with. And so they're not an imposition. And we need to understand that. Children, again, like I said last week, we talk about the circle of the family. God needs to be in the center, but the family is the man, the woman, and God. Well, what about the kids? We'll get to that. The man, the woman, and God join hands. And the problem is, in that circle, they put the child in the middle. So let's just do a spoiler. Let's walk down that path. Then we're raising children that's called child-centered parenting, that they're the center. Then they become adults. Look at what we're dealing with right now. This is my world. Everything revolves around me, and man's dealing with original sin, so now we've amplified it. That child, and then you've got a marriage that has been built on the child being the center, and then when the child leaves, then the man and woman look at each other and say, well, what do we got? I don't know you. I want to try something else. Guys, marriage is a man, God, and the woman. The child joins the circle, doesn't become the center of the circle. Things about my wife and I celebrated our anniversary last week, and I feel that it continues to get better. But it's like she does things she likes, I do things I like, we do things together. But, you know, it's different with your kids not always being there, but we've always enjoyed doing things together. I love my kids. I'm thankful for my kids, but they are not the center of my marriage. And I'm telling you, this is the society that we're dealing with today. God should be the center. The child joins the family, doesn't become the center of the family. And so children are a blessing, and children are a heritage. Let's unpackage this. So you go to Proverbs 17:6. I talked about grandchildren are the crown of the elderly, and the pride of children is their fathers. The crown of the elderly, and like I said, we showed the pictures. They're beautiful. Everybody's grandchild's greatest. And if you mention anything, you're going to see a picture or hear something about it, that kind of thing. But, you know, godly influence is generational. You know, I know they're showing the picture again. I didn't tell them to, but I'll look at it. But I want you to really understand this. Everybody here is an individual and has an individual choice, and you can't make anybody become a Christian. But you know what? You can point them towards God. And what we need to understand is we need to give our children and our grandchildren, we need to help them know the path towards God. We'll get into that scripture in a minute, but we need to bend them towards God. And so, you know, the grandparenting is the fun part. It's no longer, I want to see my kids. What did you do with my grandkids and why are they not here? I'm glad you brought them to go over there. I want to give them a Dr. Pepper, some ice cream, and send them home to punish you. Okay? But, you know, a little payback there. But, you know, what you really think about this? Sometimes grandparents, you know, we don't understand, and I really want you to understand, especially BBS this week. The kids that are coming in here, you don't know if mom and dad are both in the picture. And right now, statistically, mom and dad are not both in the picture. And so it's not that they may not have a solid mother raising them, because I'm so thankful, but single parenting, just get a special award for that, because you're doing double duty, all right? But you don't know what these kids are having. And so I want to tell you older people, and I want you to understand this. It's important for you to be here. It's important for you to smile to a kid, to talk to them, and all those things. So even then, you can pass on the generational love of God. In other words, not all people ignore me. Not all people think I'm something that they have to deal with. And I find that those kids are the worst, or the ones that need to love most. Do I like dealing with them? Not at all. But they're the ones probably that if you stop and love them. And that's what I want us to understand. Godliness can be generational. It doesn't mean, you know, just because I'm set in my garage doesn't make me a car. Just because my dad or our grandfather were Christians doesn't make me a Christian, but we should be pointing them towards God. And so, going back to Proverbs 26, proper parenting starts with this. Proverbs 22:6 says this, and I don't like the way I learned this: train up a child in a way they will go, and when they are old, they won't depart. This one's kind of choppy on this one. Start a youth out in its way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. We got to be really careful about this verse. Because some of you, we need to hold on to this verse. And sometimes we punish ourselves because of this verse. Because somehow, and I'm not making an excuse, but somehow, somewhere, some way, if our child doesn't follow God as an adult, it's our fault. Now, if we may have not pointed them towards God, and you can say and own that, wasn't the best, I found God later, didn't point them there, guess what you do? Seek God's forgiveness, seek their forgiveness, and God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removes our sin from us, doesn't remember it anymore, deal with that.
But if you have pointed your child towards God, it is hard because it hits all of us in the sense of I failed because they're not there. But did you show them the way to go? And if you did, you didn't pray hard that they see those signs every way, that they have those roadblocks every way. Because I can't make anybody here become a Christian. I don't save anyone. But I need to point them towards God. And so many times we take this verse out of context. And so it uses the word youth. That means as a child and on his way, we need to train them up. We need to bend them towards God. If I research this a little bit more, I don't know if it's talking about a bow or whatever, but you're bending the shape that they're comfortable with God. That they know where to go when things are bad. It's not just bringing them to church. It's not just teaching them scripture, but in the things of your life, they're watching you walk with God. They know how to get to God. And the goal is that to follow God and they know the way to God. I think that's where we mess up the last part, that they won't depart. They've got to make that decision for themselves. The question is, did you point them towards God? Do they know how to get to God? Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values, what is right according to God. Not situational ethics, not cultural ethics. What is right according to God. I'm tired of hearing that everything in the Bible that people don't agree with was cultural and just for that time. We can tell the difference between what is cultural. If you went into women adorning and all this kind of stuff, some of that was cultural, but the base principle is modesty. Okay? There's something there. But then, again, I'm not trying to pick on this. Gender is not cultural in the Bible. Gender is something scientifically that God has made us. So that would be a moral line that we hold to. That yes, people can be confused, and yes, people can be creative on this, but let's go back to science. If you don't want to believe God's word, we've said this before. Somebody studying bones knows which one is a woman and which one is a girl. And all these medicines, you can do whatever you want, not making light, not making fun of anyone. All these medicines, if you listen to the long list on the commercial afterwards, it says if you have been biologically born this way, don't take this medicine or you'll implode. It doesn't say it like that, but I'm trying to say there are moral lines. And then there's cultural, but most of the stuff in the Bible is not cultural. Culture would say it's cultural. God's saying this is how we made it. So you got to have a biblical worldview. And here's how that works. You look at everything through the Bible. You say the Bible is how we see that. So what's right according to God? And then you bend them, and you train them, and you instruct them towards God. And the goal is this, like, oh, I got to call mom and dad what to do, because we all know what happens. They get out there, and Joseph is a perfect example. Joseph, at a young age, his brother sell him, and then he is put in right in front of temptation, and mom and dad are not around. He's been bent towards God, and all he knows is run, Forrest, run when he gets tempted. And the Bible in 1 Corinthians says, there's no temptation such as is common to man, but with every temptation you provide, he will provide the way to escape. Our goal is we bend them towards God, we point to them what's right, and as they get older, we become more of a coach, and so that when they can navigate life through God. That's the goal. Bend them towards God. Parents are to raise their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents are to lead their children through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline. Let's look at Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him. Might separate some other things too. We'll get back to that in a minute. But parents are to lead children through consistent lifestyle example. I think we've been sold a bill of goods because our children will be the first as we get older to point out we're not perfect. I'm going to pop your bubble. Nobody here is perfect, okay? But I say it consistently, are you consistent? And here's the thing. If you messed up, own it. Own it with your children. Own it with anyone else. Ask forgiveness. If it's a mistake, apologize. Don't say, I'm sorry if you did it on purpose. Ask forgiveness.
But be, if, are you known more for this than not? Not perfect, but you need to give a consistent example. And children will, I mean, children are following and watching your example. Children that have not had a mother in their life will either seek the positive or the negative. Children that have not had a father in their life will either seek the positive or the negative. But if they've had one of those and had a good example, usually they'll seek someone from the example that they followed. And so we need to be consistent, not perfect. And then it talks about loving discipline. You children aren't going to like this, but guess what? We didn't either. Okay? When we were kids. A rod of discipline will separate it from it. Oh boy, here we go. I think most of us, how many wooden spoons and belts and spanking survivors do we have here today? We got survivors? Wow, look around, kids. Everybody survived. They survived. Okay? Now I'm not saying beat your kids. I'm not saying beat them in anger. I remember one of the last times I spanked, we had the wooden spoon, okay? I grew up with the bell, you know, whatever. And so some days we have wooden spoon days. Kids are just acting up. So that wooden spoon would be on the counter as kind of a storm warning kind of thing. And so I remember my oldest son, the last time I gave him a spanking with the wooden spoon. He's a type 1 diabetic and he has a pump, and I hit him right where the needle was. Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. And yes, I fell hard. Okay. And he doesn't let me forget that. Okay, I didn't do it out of anger, I just missed the right spot. Okay, whatever, you know, you got a lot of area there. Here's the deal. I'm not talking about specifically that you have to spank, but there needs to be a rod of discipline. And boy, if I get in trouble with this is just, here's what it is. Counting to five, what's the difference between a child obeying first time than waiting 5 seconds? Okay? And then the fact of you need to Barney Fife it and nip it in the bud, especially when they're younger. This is the problem. We're trying to discipline our children hard when they're older, when it should be younger. We're trying to negotiate and talk to our children and ask, I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. You're trying to do this with little kids. And it's not about being mean. Don't negotiate with them. Don't say thank you. I mean, you need to teach them thank you and please, but you're almost asking them, are you going to do this okay? It's not doing it okay. It's them looking you in the eye and saying, yes, Mom, and yes, Dad. You can learn that later, but the problem is we're taking something this high, and I love them. And we're giving them a lot of decisions we should never give them at that time. It's called age appropriate. That's when you can always lighten, but you can't darken. And the problem in parenting is we try to darken when it's too late. And again, when I say darken, I'm not saying beat your kids. I'm not saying abuse your kids. Whatever form of discipline, it needs to be first time. And we need to stop messing around with the fact, oh, you know, yes, we can be kind, and yes, we can be loving, but it's amazing how a child, when you discipline them, will come back and sit in your lap, and will love on you, because discipline is love. If we fail to discipline our children, Proverbs says we aid in their death. I'm not trying to beat up on parents today, but if we're doing biblical parenting, we need to stop giving children options, especially younger. As they grow older, we become more coaching. But you saw all the survivors. Most of you know them are good adults, and a lot of them, you talk to their survivor stories. Guess what? Yeah, I survived, and it taught me something. Don't do that. It taught me something. Do what is right. And so, however that is, it needs to be immediate, and it needs to be fitting what's going on, and you need to keep adjusting that. Proverbs 29:17, the result is this. Discipline your child, and it will bring you peace of mind, not while they're crying or throwing a fit. That's why they got to go in the room, sit on their bed, and put their hands in their lap. Try that one. The child's not focusing, having to put their hands in their lap. You think I'm being goofy, but they have to focus on that. Yeah, we got some tricks. Okay, but discipline your child, and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Not because, oh, I busted their bottom, and so now I'm happy. But we're talking the long point. Did that stop them from doing something that could kill them or somebody else or hurt them or hurt somebody else? You're bending, you're pointing them to God. Speaking life, your next one means pointing them, instructing them in what is right.
Not what you think is right. I don't care what you think is right. I don't care what I think is right. What does God's word say is right? You may say, well, how do I instruct them? Well, look what you're doing today. And it's not just the formal things that we're doing here, but it's also the fact of, let's see what God's word says, or let's point to this when you're dealing with those. There was a right way and a wrong way to do that. It starts with the Father. Ephesians 6:4 says this, and we're going to get in, we got something for every part of the family. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. So we talked about God's ideal. I know that's not true for everyone. I just really respect you single parents. You just got double duty and having your kids in church and doing when you may be fighting something else. I really appreciate that. But God's ideal, again, complementarianism, a man's not better than a woman, we just have different things. The father is to be the spiritual leader of the home, and statistics prove that out when I talk about people coming to the Lord. And so the father's the head, the spiritual leader, but notice what happens. Don't stir up anger. Don't frustrate your children. Now, kids are going to land on that. It's like, you're frustrating me. Well, guess what? We all were frustrated. What we're talking about, when you're teaching them, yeah, your kids are not going to be excited about you disciplining them. They're not going to be happy. I'm not talking about the normal thing, but are you pushing them too far? Do you know when to put on pressure, and do you know when to stop? And we need to understand that. There's so many times we can frustrate or just keep pushing and pushing our kids away. Now, what children are trying to do and what adults try to do is don't have me do anything, parent. Or you're going to push me away. You're going to frustrate me. You can't have them unhappy. How's that worked in your life? Not being unhappy for 2 seconds. But we're talking legitimately when you're pushing them too far. Not because they told you. If I listened to this sermon and took it out of context, I'd say, if I was a child, I'd go home, you're pushing me too far. You're frustrating. You're bringing me to anger. And I'd be like, let's go over here. And if you're young enough, let's talk about that one Proverbs about the rod of discipline. Okay, anyway, but we need to not push them to anger. I'm not talking about being upset because they were disciplined. I'm talking about inner anger. And the goal is to bring them up, nourish them, to mature them in the Lord. That, one, bring them up so it's easy to find God. And if they find God, help them grow in God so that when they get out like Joseph and they're faced with the things of life, they can navigate it because they know the way of life and they mature. We're giving them the basics. There's so many things you as parents will teach in the basics, but I'm not trying to make you feel bad today because being here is great. And it says a lot about you, not because you're here, but you have them in a place where they need to be to help them grow. There's so many things we teach our kids about that they've got to know. They've got to have that glove. They've got to have that ball. They've got to have that gun. They've got to have whatever it is. And they've got to learn it early. And they've got to learn the fundamentals. And I'm not making light of any of that. None of that is bad in itself. But yet, when it comes to the Word of God, I don't know. And a lot of you say, well, I'm not Pastor Russell. Or I'm not a preacher. I haven't studied this. But you have God's Word. You have His people. Start with the Psalms. Start with Proverbs. You've got a thing in the back of your Bible, and not just physically, but on it. You can look up any subject and find the scripture to help you with that. Just take those baby steps and start helping them with the fundamentals. Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer. You know, just there's a lot of stuff we can do. Help them grow, train them, nurture them, instruct them, exhort them in the Lord. Your next fill-in. Speaking life with our life means keeping them free of frustration. That is a hard road to walk. Because your children will act like you're frustrated, but there's sometimes, see, I'm a person, a lot of times I won't let something go. And I'll just keep like that, picking at it. And so let's go back to this. I want to make sure my children understand something. And then in my past experience, if you haven't experienced this yet, do you realize children are mind readers? That at a certain age, they can read your mind. And even before you say anything, they say, I know. They just say, I know, you know. And when my child says that, I want to drive a brick through a wall or my fist through a wall. Because it says, you are not listening to me. You are not respecting me. Okay, so say I tell them, even though I'm mad, and then I keep pushing it further, I need to keep them free of frustration. Get the point across, deal with it, go on. Next, this involves the whole family, not just fathers. So you go on it previously in Ephesians 6, and you're going to be in Ephesians 6 this week, a lot of good stuff there. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Basically, if you don't obey your parents, they're going to take you out. But anyway, let's start with this. So children, obey, because it's the right thing to do. Honor, that means value, respect both parents. I get it. I'm kind of going through that right now. I may be kind of on the tail end of it. There's a point where dad's the greatest, and they respect dad. And then there's the point where dad's the joke. Everything dad does is just hilarious, and not because he's telling dad jokes. Okay? Dad jokes. Where does the king keep his armies? In his sleeveys. See, that's a dad joke. That's for this week. It's horrible. It took Larry 2 times to get it. Okay? It took me 2 times to get it, too. Okay? We're not talking about him laughing at your dad jokes. Look at what dad's wearing. Look at what dad did. Dad's the butt of the joke. And so we go from dad's the greatest to dad's the joke to hopefully full circle. Hey, maybe he's got something to teach me that I didn't listen to. It was amazing. My dad, he's taught me how to do oil. I don't want to change oil. I don't want to now, okay? But we were in a society where we changed our oil. It was amazing when it got expensive when I was newly married. I went back to dad and said, now, how did you tell me to change that oil? And like kids say, a lot of people say, it's amazing how smart your parents become when you turn 25. I'll let you think about that. And some of you kids, when you turn 25. But it doesn't matter what I'm trying to say. Children, obey, value, honor your parents. It doesn't matter the cycle of lives. It is saying this. Regardless, obey your parents. Now, if your parents are telling you to do something ungodly, obviously you don't do that. Not ungodly according to what you think, according to God's word. But even a parent that doesn't know Christ, there are good parents that don't know Christ. They need Christ. We need to, because some of those parents have been brought to Christ through a child that has honored and obeyed them. And sometimes they see Christian kids that they're like, well, I know Christ and they don't, so I'm better than them. You're better off than them. But what a better witness, whether your parents are Christian or not, to obey them, to honor them, to respect them. And respect, again, according to God's word, doesn't mean I'll respect them if they respect me. A lot of us spanking survivors, okay, how did that work? If like, well, I'll do that if you respect me, and respect me on this, it's like, didn't work too well for me. You see what I'm saying? We need to just, this is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. So he tells fathers, don't frustrate your children and be the spiritual head. He says children, and when he talks about fathers, he means mothers too there, in the sense of not frustrating your children and bringing them up in the instruction of the Lord. That the children, let's stop trying to gauge whether we should do it or not and realize this is a commandment from God. This is why, train them in the Lord, I loved having the Ten Commandments hanging in our house. Because when we would get in a situation, okay, or some tension, let's walk over here by the door. And I think you can read, even though, I won't get sarcastic on that. But let's look at what this one says. Honor your father and your mother, and your days will be long on the earth. One, because I'll take you out if you don't. Okay, I would tell them that, but they knew what it meant. But, you know, so it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And guess what? There's 9 other ones for the rest of us, too. But now let's go. I remember I was at my parents, and my dad has a little issues with hearing. And so the TV is blaring. And I'm sitting by the TV, and I turn it down. I'm an adult. And Mom goes, you're not honoring your dad. This is his house and his TV. That little 5-foot-nothing woman made me feel like this. You know, in the sense of, you're right. Some of you, through your parents' illnesses and their deaths, and even now, you have to choose to honor them. Do you realize that most other societies, especially an Oriental-based society, honor the elderly way better than we do in America? And they don't even have a Bible base, a lot of them. Honoring your family doesn't, your parents doesn't stop until they go on. That's a witness. I went to one of my geek gaming clubs the other night, and I was real tense about it, you know, because I was just, my son wants me to get some stuff, and I just do it to honor him or have a relationship that way. So I go there, and I'm real nervous because I don't know nothing about it, and there's like 2,000, but there was a lot of people there. Okay, they're all playing games, and there's rounds, and when anything illegal, I won the daily double. I don't know. Okay, but anyway, I was really nervous because these guys take this seriously, and I don't. I just wanted the cards because maybe I could sell some of them, okay, make some money. Okay, whatever. But anyway, so I'm playing. I was the last one out of all these people. I'm really nervous because this guy knows what he's doing. And here, I'm not saying he doesn't know Christ, but I assume, and I prayed with him, I assume he was lost. But he's saying, well, this year's really changed for me. I've had to move my parents all into my house. My dad has dementia. My mom has this, and I'm taking care of them. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and I told him, I go, you're honoring your parents, and you're being a good man. I don't think he knew Christ, but I wanted to let him know that. What did that say to me? That said to me, if a lost person can realize that they need to honor their parents, then the rest of us that know Christ and know it's a commandment, where's your excuse? Honor, value. Why? It's a promise. He's talking about the children of Israel when they went to the promised land, but that things will go well with you. Just because you honor your parents doesn't mean your parents are nice people. And doesn't mean they're going to honor you back. But you know that you're good with God. And you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. Because it's a commandment with a promise. And it pleases God. The goal is to make, the goal of all this is to make choices to live life. To speak life based on what was right. Your last fill-in. Speaking life with our lives means everyone has a part. Child, mom, dad, God. And so, you have influence on people's lives. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not married, I don't have children. All right. But you're a Christian, and even if you don't know Christ, you are influencing, you're either speaking life or you're speaking death. And we need to realize we have an influence. Everyone has a part. And children are an important part of the family. They join the circle. They're not the center. They're a blessing and a heritage and a continuation of life. And regardless, every day we have a choice whether we're going to speak death or life. So I got some questions for you before we close here. Today and during this season, are you really living life? You need to really look at yourself, and you may need to realize, man, I got this, I got that, nobody's bothering me, but really, is this all there is? Because this world is pretty messed up. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to have a time of invitation here. I challenge you to come forward and receive Christ. But there's a lot of Christians that aren't living life. I was so worried when I went to that game thing that I was going to mess somebody else up or give them a bad experience. I've got this guy that's just glad to be out there, just enjoying having a break. And I'm sitting there going, this is someone that doesn't know Christ and he's calmer than me. Every day you've got to choose if you're really living life or you're just doing this drudgery. What are you teaching? Oh, I'm not teaching anything. You know what? Your lack of teaching is teaching something. Your actions for right or your actions for wrong, every day we're teaching something. We need to teach what is right. Get the word. Start with Proverbs. Start with your kids, your grandkids, yourself. Proverbs. There's 31, one for every day, okay? Yes, I know some of us don't have that. Just figure it out yourself, okay? But here's the deal. Take a baby step. Start. And are you leading them? Are you leading people and your children and your grandchildren towards God or away from God? Society, this is why we're getting into this conversational evangelism. Society says there's no absolute truth and we're just trying to push things on people. You got to get past those excuses. But I'm saying, is there anything, and you may need to seek forgiveness, that is there something that has created a barrier, are you leading them towards God or away from God?
And then lastly, are you playing your part? Children have a part, parents have a part, and you gotta let God do His part. And some of you parents, you have children that are adults and they're not following God, and you just need to ask yourself today, because the devil will make you feel guilty, you need to ask yourself, did I do my part? It wasn't the fact that you were perfect, but did I point them towards God? And if you didn't, ask God's forgiveness, ask your child's forgiveness, own it, and go on. But if you did, this is where Satan beats the crud out of us. You point them towards God, and they're an individual that's going to have to make that choice. And we don't want them to not follow God, because we know the result. But I need to ask the question, children, are you obeying your parents? Parents, are you frustrating your kids? Are you pointing them towards God? And whether you're a child or a parent or married, are you speaking life? Today I've given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. I call